21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. Now more of 21st Century Radio with your host, Dr. Zoe Hieronymus.
It's all about soul. It's all about faith and a deeper devotion. It's all about soul. 'Cause under love is a stronger emotion.
Welcome to 21st Century Radio. I'm Dr. Zohara Hieronymus. Laura Kortner is our executive producer, and Noah Dankner runs our board. Joining us this half hour is Diane Finlayson. Diane is a practitioner at the Ruscomb Mansion Community Health Center. She is a teacher of yoga, Ayurvedic healthcare, cooking, and body typing, among other things. And she will explain for us this half hour not only the ancient healing art of Ayurveda, but its philosophy and meta approach to health, healing, and spiritual well-being. Thank you for joining us again, Diane.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Zoe. Thank you.
So, Ayurvedic body typing. First, give us a little bit of history about the Ayurvedic approach to the body and our health.
Ayurvedic medicine is somewhat similar to the old Greek medicine, the constitutional medicine. In the Greek system, there were it was phlegmatic and choleric, and I don't remember what now. But it's in Ayurvedic philosophy, there's vata, there's pitta, and there's kapha. And these body types, just like in the Greek humoral system, are based on elemental energies. So the vata is air and ether, the pitta is fire and water, and the kapha is earth and water. And each one has different qualities, in that there are things that each constitution brings, each dosha brings, that are beneficial and are healthy in their optimal state, and then there are ways that they can become uniquely imbalanced as well. And different seasons of the year will throw different people out of balance more than others. So, for instance, we're moving into the fall season. The temperatures are cooling, the wind is picking up, and this is a particularly tricky time of year for the vata constitution, the vata dosha, because like increases like. So when you have more of something, then you have an excess of it, and then you are out of balance.
So when you look at somebody, and this will be something you'll be doing at the Ruscomb Mansion's 30th anniversary open house, which is coming up October 12th from 1 to 4 p.m., folks. Hope you all can join us, those of you that live in the region. And you can learn more at our website, www.ruscombe.org. Again, it's Sunday, October 12th from 1 to 4 p.m. Can you look at somebody and say, oh, that person's really more vata? And it's not that a person is just one of these. It's just more predominantly one of them.
That's correct. That's correct. And there are some dead giveaways for body typing. Michelle Dexter and I both, we share an office, and we both work with Ayurvedic clients. And it's pretty clear when you look at somebody. There are a few people who are a little bit tricky, but it's generally pretty clear when you look at somebody if they are predominantly vata, predominantly pitta, or predominantly kapha. For instance, somebody who is predominantly vata is going to be generally quite thin. They might be either quite tall or quite short. Their joints are going to be somewhat more pronounced, and they are going to move around a lot.
That's me. I'm the vata. I am so vata, I couldn't be anything else. Even to this day, if I'm not writing a book, I say I pity my dogs because they follow me everywhere. We get up, we sit down, we go to another room, we come back, we walk. I said I probably walk miles a day in my house.
That's good. That's good. That's okay. There's no, you know, and that's something people think that, you know, oh, I'm this or that. I'm. You know, it's not good to be vata. There's nothing wrong with being any dosha. Mm-hmm. Every dosha has its gift. And the gift of being a vata, even though it might be hard to settle and anchor and simmer down. The gift is the inspiration that Vata brings to the world. People with a strong Vata constitution, they are our inspirers. They are the people who bring forth spiritual learning. They are the people who can really get people enthusiastic about ideas, about spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can safely say that you've done that in your writing as well.
Yeah, yeah, and radio, et cetera. Yeah. And,
yeah.
And so let's talk about Pitta, because I hear the audience going, well, wait, what about me?
What about the others?
Yeah, so what would a Pitta person tend towards?
Our Pitta constitution is going to be a person who is of average height generally, and who is going to be very muscular and maybe a little bit athletic. If this is in their best state. So most people who are Pitta are athletic, they're strong, they are driven people. And as far as body type goes, they're generally going to have pale skin, they often have freckles, they will generally sunburn more easily than others, their eyes will be more almond-shaped, and they will often be green-eyed, and not surprisingly, since we're dealing with fire element, you're often going to see red hair, and it will be very straight red hair.
Interesting. And so we've done a little bit on Vata, who is air and ether, and then Pitta, which is fire, and what's the other element?
Water.
And
fire
water.
And water.
Mm-hmm. And so then there's Kapha.
And Kapha. Kapha is comprised of water and earth. And our Kapha is going to be, it's going to be that earth mother. It's going to be that goddess shape in a woman. It's going to be, you know, a full figure, but a beautiful goddess-like full figure. And it's going to be wavy, dark hair. And it's going to be very pale skin, but not necessarily skin that's going to burn. And you're not going to see those freckles. You're going to see a beautiful cream and rose, or peaches and cream complexion.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see large, luminous eyes. You're going to see big, white teeth. This is a person of substance, and they are not going to move fast. They're going to move with the grace of a swan swimming across a lake. They're going to be elegant, and they're going to also embody that Earth Mother quality that wants to bring everyone home and love them.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting because in my little family, my nuclear family, I'm Vata,
mm-hmm.
my husband is Pitta,
mm-hmm.
and our daughter Anna is Kapha. So here's an example of three of us all being different dominant element, and yet, as you point out, we all have some of the other two. So, but how does that affect your diet? I mean, let's say you have a household of people of different constitutions, and one child is Vata and another Pitta, and they're saying, I don't like that food, and the other says, but I like this food. Is that a real thing that comes out of constitutional qualities?
Yes, yes, it is. And also, when you have to cook for a group, the way to help people find a way to manage and assimilate the food easily is through spicing. So you can make what's thought of as a sattvic meal, a meal that's A-OK for everybody, and you will just have the Pitta put a little extra different sort of spice on it, have the Vata maybe put a little extra ghee on it, and have the Kapha put some, like, hot pepper on it just to give them a little heat. Because Vata and Kapha tend toward the colder, and Pitta is always going to be overheated. So you're going to want to give the Pitta person something maybe like some cucumber that's going to cool down the food for them or cool down their assimilation of that food. And you will want to give something to the Vata and Pitta that will heat it up a little for them so they can assimilate it better. So, and there are going to be things that the Vata person at the table is just not going to really want to eat because it's not in their best interest. So
mm-hmm.
you let people eat what they want and can. You make generally a meal that's going to be balanced for everyone and then let them work their way around the table. But there's no reason that a family can't all sit down at the table and generally eat all the same food.
when you look at these body types, and again, this is something you'll be doing, and there are programs at Ruscom specifically about this, a six-week program for wellness with Michelle Dexter and Diane Finlayson at Ruscom, and it's Ruscom, RUSCOMBE.org to learn more. And Diane, by the way, her phone number for clients is 443-622-9642. That's 443-622-9642. And the direct phone number for the Ruscom Mansion, if you forget that, is 410-367-7300. Talk to us a little bit about your 6 weeks to wellness.
The 6 weeks to wellness program is something that we, Michelle Dexter and I, put together with the idea that fall, moving into winter, is a really difficult time of year for a lot of people. It's sort of pleasant for Pitta people because it's the cooling period. But for Kapha and for Vata, this is a very vitiating period. It's aggravating to the constitution. So we put together a six-week program where the client goes back and forth in private sessions between myself and Michelle. They'll start off with me, and we'll do a chakra reading. And in the chakra reading, I'll use my crystal. I have a special crystal pendant that I use for chakra readings. The pendant is held over each of the chakras, and the way that it swings helps me to determine the openness or closedness, if you will, of each of the chakras. And, of course, each of the chakras, I think of the chakra system sort of as another way of looking at Maslow's hierarchy. The root is about survival. The second chakra is about a special connection with another. The third is about how you are as a member of the tribe. How do you fit in your culture? The fourth chakra is about higher love and how do you connect cosmically in a loving manner with the universe. Of course, the throat chakra is about our ability to communicate, the eyebrow center about our intuition, and the crown about our connection to all that is and how we allow that to manifest down through the rest of the system. So we'll have a little discussion about that in our first session. And then they'll go to Michelle, and Michelle does a balancing. So they come to me, they get a little education about their psychological state. Michelle works with them and does a chakra balancing with them. Then they'll come back to me, and we'll do a little yoga therapy. So based on the balancing and the knowledge we've gained in the chakra sessions, I can help them put together a posture and breathing practice and meditation practice that will keep them at their best through the winter. After the yoga therapy session, they'll go back to Michelle, and they will have the opportunity to do a full Ayurvedic assessment with her. So they'll go through the psychological, the structural, the physical typing with her. And she will give them some ideas for nutrition and other self-care regimens to help get them through the winter. They'll then come back to me, and we'll do a spiritual and psychological Ayurvedic assessment. And I'll give them really more of the meditation aspects, the spiritual practice that will help keep them on track through the dark time of the winter. In the end, they'll go for a final session with Michelle, where she will get all of the information we've gathered in the previous five sessions and create with that person, review and go over the wellness plan that we've constructed for them so that they can go forward into the darkness feeling really surrounded like a seed in warm earth so that they can rest and be nourished through the dark time so that they can come out in the spring like a new shoot of life.
Beautifully described.
Thank you.
Sounds like a wonderful program. So again, that's 6 weeks to wellness. To learn more, you can go to www.ruscombe.org. Is there any other place people listening can go to learn more about that?
That's
the best place.
I'm not entirely sure. I know that we've got a lot up on the Ruscom site.
Okay.
And I think that's the best place to go. Or they're welcome to phone if they'd like more information.
Yeah, and for, again, for those of you who live in the area, in the Maryland, Delaware, Washington area, please join us at our 30th anniversary open house. That's Sunday, October 12th from 1 to 4 p.m. Ruscom is at 4801 Yellowwood Avenue near Sinai Hospital in Baltimore. And it'll be a wonderful day. There's free food sampling. There's yoga by the pond. You can find out what your body type is. There'll be some wonderful thermography screening discussion.
You know what else I'm excited about?
Tell us.
So I'm really excited that Jan Seiden is going to be playing, too. She plays such beautiful Native American flute.
Yes,
I think
agree.
It will be lovely to have her there at the open house.
Yeah, and we hope that there's also a panel discussion that we do every year for an hour at the end of the day where a number of practitioners come together and people can ask their questions about.
And I'll be there for that, too.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, it's a beautiful group of 30-some practitioners all in private practice for those who have never been to the Ruscom Mansion Community Health Center. And for our 30 years of being there, we have served hundreds of thousands of people in really giving people more options for their own journey in wellness, as well as their own journey in the spiritual world that our bodies are part of. So, Diane, when you look at all the different things, you've been a yoga instructor, you're also a broadcaster like I am, and you do this beautiful work in Ayurveda. And
do you think I'm a little vata, though?
I think so. I think so. And yet, if you were to stand us next to each other, we couldn't look more different. You're a big, strong, large woman.
Pitta comes ahead of me. I think Vata comes ahead for you. We're both Pitta and Vata, but we have them in different proportions.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. It's fascinating. And so when you look at the culture of India as an example, and Ayurvedic medicine is slowly really coming into the West, both in the hospitals and in emergency medicine in some cases, how do you see the benefit of Ayurvedic medicine to the West?
Well, you know, the thing that I really, really like about it and see it in its most beneficial light for the West is the way that it honors the uniqueness of each individual and the way that each person is going to respond differently because of their unique constitution to whatever herb is given them, whatever diet is given them. And I think one of the most interesting things that has started to be developed in Western medicine is the notion in chemotherapy that it's possible to target to a specific gene and treat a specific gene with a specific medicine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what that says to me is Western medicine is finally starting to realize that there are unique things. You don't just go in with the shotgun and blast at things. You can actually target and have an impact. And in Ayurvedic medicine, there are a variety of herbs that can be used to target and treat people in a way that is really gentle but effective. I want to say, and also the thing that I'm encouraged about is there are more people doing Panchakarma treatment now. And Panchakarma is the way to completely detoxify oneself so that you can go back in to a healthy state and beat a lot of diseases. If you do a Panchakarma, which means five actions treatment annually, you can really do a lot for yourself in staying out of the way of chronic disease and keeping your body and its immune system in the kind of condition you want so that you don't invite harm inadvertently. You know, we eat badly. We get busy. We don't exercise. And then we kind of get clogged up internally. So when you do the Panchakarma treatments, it allows you to get all of that sludge out of your system so that everything is energetically and physically, emotionally and psychically running in the manner it was intended to, based on your constitution. I can't say enough about that. I think it's a really fine treatment.
of course, I'm sitting here thinking, well, are our animals different constitutional types too? And do people look for partnerships that balance maybe their lack of an element? In the same way astrologers would look at compatibility between people and they look at the elements.
Yes.
And in Chinese astrology or Chinese acupuncture, we would be looking at elements and elemental balance.
Yes, yes. I think there is something to that. I think we do pick animals that will help complement who we are. You know, I see a lot of times, you know, small, thin people with great big dogs and great big people with little pussycats.
Yeah.
And birds, you know, birds are an interesting thing, too. I don't know a lot of people with birds, but the ones that I do seem to be, you know, birds can be very vata. They fly around.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the people who are a little more sedentary, who like to have that bird flying around them. And, you know, people pick partners that way, too. People often pick partners that way. And it's interesting. The best partnering would be someone who is vata with someone who is kapha, I think, because all that vata energy will help the kapha get up off the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that kapha energy will help the vata ground and stabilize.
Mm-hmm.
Now, two pittas can be a load of fun, all that fire and passion.
Uh-huh.
But they can also burn themselves out if they don't take good care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. And because we have a little bit of all of it in us, of course, in some situations with one particular friend who you find a particular affiliation, it might be your fire, your pitta that gets aroused, or with,
yes,
you know, with one of your children or your grandchildren, it might be the vata gets aroused. And so it's really the beauty of it is the simplicity of these elements and looking for the elements in each human. So I assume our souls determine before we incarnate what we need in order to have the experiences we have to have.
Well, you know, if we are agreeing to a contract, essentially, because karmically, if you think about karma in the deep sense, this is what we're agreeing to. Cosmically, the notion is before we come in, we agree on a contract, a curriculum, if you will, that we are going to go in. Our soul needs to go in and complete a curriculum. And so in order to complete that curriculum, you must be given the tools you need to do it appropriately. And that would mean that you will go in with a specific set of elemental energies, or else you're not going to be able to run your curriculum effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go in and be with the people who are going to help you do that. So you will have parents that, you know, the contract says you're going to come into this situation. So the parents are a certain way. You either have or don't have siblings. You either keep both parents or lose one or both, you know. So all of that I do think is predetermined. And if you look at the Sanatana Dharma system and you look at the bigger picture, the notion of karma suggests that, you know, we agreed when we came into this.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get out of it until we complete our curriculum, unless, of course, you want to do it again.
Amen to finishing what we start now.
Take the curriculum and move on.
Yes, exactly. Diane Finlayson, and you can meet her and learn more from 6 weeks to Wellness with she and Michelle Dexter. Go to Ruscombe, RUSCOMBE.org website. Diane's phone number for clients, 443-622-9642. That's 443-622-9642. Or come and meet her in person. That's Sunday, October 12th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Ruscombe Mansion's 30th anniversary open house. It is free and open to the public. And you can call 410-367-7300 or go to Ruscombe, RUSCOMBE.org.